This conference will now be recorded.
Good afternoon, folks. It's 3 p.m. Tuesday, May 4th, 2021. We'll call our workshop into session. First item on the agenda is a roll call. Spencer H. Smith, Mayor, is present. Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem.
Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem, is present.
Thank you. Jennifer McCann, Place 1.
Jennifer McCann, Place 1, is present.
Thank you. Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3.
This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3, present.
Thank you. Linda Nash, Place 4.
Linda Nash, Place 4, present.
Thank you. Jody Nicholas, Place 5.
Jody Nicholas, Place 5, present.
Okay, thank you. City Manager David Mitchell.
City Manager David Mitchell, present.
Thank you. And City Secretary Julie Helsham.
City Secretary Julie Helsham, present.
Okay, thank you. We have everybody aboard and we have a quorum. Next item is a presentation by citizens. Citizens who desire to address the council on any matter may do so during this item. Please understand that while the council appreciates hearing your comments, state law, Texas Government Code, Section 551.042 prohibits them from, one, engaging in discussion other than providing a statement of specific factual information or reciting existing city policy, and two, taking action other than directing staff to place the matter on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record and limit your comments to 3 minutes.
If any remote participant would like to address the City Council at this time, please unmute your microphone. Telephone callers can press star 6.
Okay, hearing none, we'll proceed on to item number 3, which is new business. Number 1, receive and discuss a presentation from Tax Appraisal Board Representative Jared Bryan regarding the Board of Directors of the Tax Appraisal District of Bell County that outlines the method for selecting members of the Appraisal District Board of Directors. City Manager.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Board of Directors of the Tax Appraisal District of Bell County are currently selected under a method that was adopted by the taxing units of Bell County in 1985. I'll stress that year, Council. That city of Harker Heights was about roughly 10,000 people, so about a third of where we what we have now in terms of population. And under the method that was done in the 1985 agreement, the following, I want to make sure we're clear on this, the 7-member board is comprised of the following. Bell County has 1 member. City of Killeen has 1 member. Killeen ISD has 1 member. City of Temple has 1 member. Temple ISD has 1 member. City of Belton and Belton ISD jointly share 1 member. And all other taxing units in the county, to include Harker Heights, jointly appoint 1 member. The city of Harker Heights, again, as I mentioned, has grown significantly since 1985 and is now the third largest city in Bell County. Council has discussed the issue of representation on the BELCAD Board of Directors in the past. After a recent decision by the Texas Attorney General on the makeup of tax appraisal boards, BELCAD mailed a letter out to the entities it represents to get feedback on the current makeup of the board. BELCAD received back just 1 letter, at least that, the last time I met with Mr. Bryan, it was just 1 letter, and that was from the city of Harker Heights. Per Council's direction, staff issued a letter to BELCAD stating our desire to have representation more in line with how the county has grown. The city representative, of course, on the board is Jared Bryan. I'm proud to have Mr. Bryan here with us. He's also the board's president. And I will say about Mr. Bryan, he has always been extremely approachable and helpful to the city as our representative. So I'm proud to have him here with us today, and I'm thankful for his continued commitment to our city. At today's meeting, we will discuss the current system of board apportionment, as we mentioned earlier, the system as it would exist under the Attorney General's ruling, because that's a little bit different, and a potential third option. In terms of the third option, changing the method adopted by Bell County in 1985 would require the agreement of all the voting entities. Staff desires Council's direction on how to proceed on this issue. Again, Council, as we talk about that, I want to make sure I brought that up about the other agreement, other entities having to agree. And again, that is going to be a tough hill to climb in relation to that. So I want to be clear on that because everybody has to agree if we want to make that change. With that, I'll kind of turn it over to Jared to let him sort of talk about the what the Texas Attorney General ruling would do. Jared, they do have the sheet that you provided us that has okay. The entities that would kind of pop to the top of that. So,
do you have an extra copy of that?
I'll give you that.
Okay. You go. Do I need to?
You're good.
Okay.
You're good.
Thank you. Well, first of all, Mayor, Council, thank you for having me today. It's good to see all of you. It's been a while since these open meetings and getting back in the groove here. So it's good to see everybody's face in person. I'd ask David to introduce every item I ever have to talk about because he was pretty thorough there and has given you a pretty good background. The appraisal district did send out those letters. Harker Heights was the only entity that responded. Harker Heights is pretty much one of the largest entities that I represent as the member that gets everybody other than the names that he mentioned. Salado ISD is the other large one, and while they did not send a letter, they did ask to just have some more talks about it, and I've had those talks with them, which I'd mentioned to David prior to this meeting. Basically, what it boils down to is the Attorney General opinion came out, and it's just an opinion. You have to remember that about Attorney General opinions. They are opinions. They don't carry the weight of law, but they are interpreted as this may be how a court would conclude. Because of that, the Board of Directors at the Appraisal District felt that it was important to notify the taxing entities that the Attorney General opinion had come out and find out if there was any reason for a change in the way that the Appraisal District Board of Directors had been nominated. Again, Harker Heights is the only one that did respond. Unfortunately, as we mentioned in a prior meeting, the options of change are either one, you get all entities in the county to agree to a new split and setup of the board, or you go under the statutory directed line, which is the largest taxing entities have the board, get the largest share of the vote for the board seats, i.e. elect the board. And if we were to do that, that's what the sheet in front of you shows. The yellow entities would be the largest holders. I'm sorry. The yellow entities are the ones that are currently board appointments. The largest by revenue is listed in order here. So you would have Killeen ISD, Bell County, Temple ISD, Belton ISD, the City of Killeen, and the City of Temple currently would be the largest vote, vote heavy of the apportionment of the seats. Meaning, in kind of unsaid terms, that those would be the ones that would have the seats on the board. I think that puts more emphasis going forward, that the independent school districts would have more say on the board of directors, probably disproportionately to cities. But the reason behind that is a long road of property tax history in the state and the funding of the school system, so that's probably why they have it set up that way, quite honestly. The current method, I have been very responsive. There's not a lot to report normally, but you do have me as your representative, and I have been elected as the chairman of the Appraisal District Board. You can give my condolences later after the meeting. It's a very popular seat in the county, especially this time of the year. You do have direct access. There's not a lot of issues that come forward to the board of directors that have a great impact on the city directly. It's more of a generalization, approving the budget, which we've, as a board, as long as I've been on there, have maintained a very slow growth in that budget number, making sure that we're returning as much money as possible back to the entities. I guess that's really all I have to say about it. And I'll take any questions or comments or thoughts that you have about how you would like to see it split up. Again, remember that it would take every entity listed here, plus there's one more that just got approved, to agree on any kind of change in the split of the vote directors.
Okay. Anything from the council? Any questions? Let's see, Councilmember Fontaine.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Jacqueline Soriano Fontaine, Place 3. Jerry, thank you for coming and being our representative.
What I would like to see is what would it look like if we were to get a portion. So this slide that you presented to us, what would it look like if our fellow cities would agree to have one seat for Harker Heights in lieu of just you representing us? What is the breakup of the numbers?
So to get that, it would be a reapportionment of the board seats based off some method other than the statute, which would mean that we'd actually have to go get those other 28, 30 entities to agree to whatever makeup that is. So let's just say it was the City of Harker Heights gets a seat. the other ones that already have the seats would maintain, and we just basically added the seat for Hurtkreitz. Everybody would have to agree to that. And I think that in my talks with the Salado ISD as well, you know, they would be the next ones to potentially have a claim that they should have a better representation on the board. So I think you'd have to add them, and then when you add them, where do you stop? And you don't want to have a board that's comprised of too many members, which I think a lot of entities would, you know, raise a flag at. So I think that the road to get a change in it would be difficult at best. And unfortunately, the options presented to us are we, you know, basically ignore the Attorney General opinion, say that we don't think that that's actually how a court would conclude, and we continue to do business as we have been. The other option is we send out a letter ratifying the way we've always done the election for the board seats, and every entity agrees with it and doesn't send a protest back. The third option would be to come up with whatever scenario it would be to add the seats. But again, you have to get every entity would have to approve it.
Uh-huh. Let's give it a shot. Let's give it a go and yeah. See where we got to work to try to get them to vote in our favor.
And I certainly will take that back. Just have to remember that if we were to try and fail, we have to go back to the statutory setup, which is going to mean that none of the entities are going to be represented really, because those top five people are going to get the say in who's up there. And that's really the fear I have as your representative and as the representative of the other small entities, is I see that opening a door to less representation on the board of directors. Even though it's well placed, and I agree with you that Arger Heights has grown and certainly should have a seat, but I fear that it would backfire and turn into just being the top five entities controlling the board of directors.
What causes the fear, though? What causes that fear that you have, that you're saying that we shouldn't go forward to try to get a seat on the board? What is it that causes the fear?
Well, I mean, again, you're right. You don't know until you try. My personal opinion is that when you do try, some of the other smaller entities are going to say, no, I should get a seat too, or that I should share in that seat. Or possibly you're going to have the larger entities that also know that, you know, what the statute says, that, hey, we shouldn't have to listen to what any of them say. We're bigger and we should just be us. That's the fears I see. And again, to reiterate, I don't know that we've had any problem with the way the system currently is operating. I mean, I guess that's, if I thought that there was a problem and that y'all were not getting the access or getting the results or information you needed, I wouldn't say anything against trying to get y'all a seat, but I don't think that that's what's happened.
Well, you're our representative, yeah. You're the yeah. Chair, so.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're in a good place for us.
I shouldn't say that. David should answer, you know, whether the mayor should answer whether or not y'all are getting what you need from your representative, but I feel like I've done a good job, so.
We're not going to take that away from you, Jerry. You have.
I understand.
That, you know. Well, there's a voice, there's power, so.
Absolutely, thank you.
Yeah, that's all I have, Mayor. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mr. Bryan, I would agree with your assessment there, because you got, like I said, there's so many different entities, and to get them all to agree, it's either all or none. And you can't get, if you get one or two to say no, then you're going back to this, you know, where they know what it's going to be the top five that get to say then. So we would lose out, I think, then. But, you know, what do we have to gain if we were to get back on there? I mean, what the role of the board of directors, you mean, I know you can hire and fire the chief tax appraiser, but other than that, and recommending the budget for Belcat, what is your functions as the board?
That's it. So, I mean, it is the hiring and firing of the chief appraiser, and the setting of the budget, which obviously we are 100% funded by each entity that we represent. Some entities, as you see on the chart, are by collections and also by appraisal services. We offer two services at the appraisal district. Not every entity has us collect. Gatesville ISD Obviously, we appraise property that's in Gatesville SD, but the bulk of it's in Coryell County, so that unit does the collections. The other things that we do is set policy and procedures for the appraisal district and for the staff, and those are set to be, you know, fair to the entities, to the taxpayers, and, you know, protections of whatever laws we have to follow from the state. It's not, there's nothing that you can do, in my mind, on the appraisal district board of directors that has a change in any kind of valuation system. All that's mandated by the state. That's something that commonly comes up. You know, the appraised values, we always fight them because nobody wants to pay property taxes. We all know that. But, you know, the state says you have to be within 10%. And the way they interpret 10% at the comptroller's office is you have to be 95 to 105% of that value for the property value study that determines school funding. And if we miss, which we do miss sometimes, on the low side, but we've not missed on the high side, but we miss on the low side, if you do that 2 out of 3 years, then the state starts drawing back school funding, which again, back to what I said earlier, I think that's why the system, going back to the statute, is set up for the school districts, is because they're trying to make sure school district funding is done properly and that there's incentive for the appraisal district to accurately and effectively tax for school funding.
Okay. I have a question. I don't know if we can ask this question, but since we have you here present,
sure.
If we're not able to talk about it, just let me know. But the, one of the and this has come up in the past when we had Mr. White here, with the municipalities have their zoning set. You know, basically when things came into the city, it all came in as R1. So the board, I know, you know, you hire the chief appraiser, but you know, we've talked about it. Well, why is the chief appraiser taxing our R1s as if they're commercial? Mm-hmm. And that's really has a drastic impact across Harker Heights, and I'm sure in the rest of Bell County as well. Mm-hmm. When you're taxing something like that, you know, you have the purview over the chief tax appraiser. You know, you need to respect the, in my opinion, the cities have their final say on their zoning that's within their city. You know, once it's zoned, because it has to go through a process, as you sure. know, to become commercial entity for it to be taxed as such, but it's not fair if you were to go ahead and just assume based on what the future overlay might say for the future until it actually becomes that, because we've had instances where they popped up and they do not go commercial, they stay R1. So I think Mr. Mitchell wants to chime in here.
Mayor Pro Tem, I don't believe we can have that discussion today because of the way the item okay. is worded, but we can certainly bring that back at a future date if council would like to, with it properly worded for that.
Okay, I would love to see that in the future. Thank you.
Councilmember Nash.
This is Councilmember Nash. Good afternoon. I just have a question for you. At what point, in your professional opinion, should we ask to have a seat on the board that it would be more in our favor that we would get it? Is it by our money that we come in? So, you know, we're always going to be, for the most part, below the top five. So will we ever, should we ever even ask?
That's a hard question to answer. I honestly would not say you will never be in the top five, because y'all are growing very, very well and have a lot of growth in front of you. The issue comes back to, again, it's biased towards school districts, the way the system's set up. So until that's changed, I think it's hard for a city to gain more influence on the appraisal district, and except for the way that it's set up. Because obviously the more you grow as Harker Heights, the more also Killeen ISD or possibly Belton ISD, I think you'll have some Belton ISD over there in your growth plan, are gonna grow equally. So those continue to get larger. The only way would be if the city of Killeen was to drop off to the city of Temple and you were to overtake, you know, one of those, which is possible. But until then, I would think that it'd be a difficult road. The other strange on how the legislature came up with the formula, but the other way is, and this is not a popular way, and I do not want this repeated in the papers here this way, but it's based off what your actual levy is, So in essence, if you were to raise your tax rate to bring in more revenue, you could move up that list.
No.
Yeah. That, again, I would not recommend. Computer. I would not recommend that. That would cause some other issues. But yeah, that's really the only way. So. Yeah. Yeah. There would be. Yeah. That would open up a whole another can. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
So, Mayor Smith, I got a question for you. As far as the current breakout on the board members, just can you tell me again how those people for those slots, how they get on the board?
Yes, sir. So the county, Bell County, as a tax entity, the Commissioner's Court appoints one representative. The City of Killeen appoints one representative. Would you like to know who those representatives are? You're going to
text
me?
Yeah, I think I'd like to know that.
All right. Let me think. Put on my thinking hat here. All right. So Bell County has one representative who is Dick Young, recently appointed to fill the vacancy created by the passing of Royce Matkin. That's the City of Killeen.
Okay.
Dick Young.
Yeah. Okay.
Bell County's representative is Scott Airy, okay. who also is out here in Hart Riots. The Killeen ISD representative is Susan Jones. Temple ISD representative is Kevin Cook. City of Temple representative is Skip Carruth. And then Belton ISD and the City of Belton share one representative, who is Ray Severn.
Who's that, Ray?
Ray Severn.
Okay.
And there's me.
Okay.
Your guy.
Okay.
All right. Which, the other thing on there to note is the green ones are the ones that actually voted for me. The ones that are not highlighted did not vote for me. So you can see, I mean, really not a lot of engagement by the entities. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's no bearing though on where. Those individuals, yourself excluded, there's no bearing on where any of those people reside, where their domicile is.
For the other entities?
Yeah.
There's not a requirement on that, but they historically have had someone that's in their school district, works in their school district, you know, lives in their city, works in their city.
Okay.
But no, there's not a requirement on that, because I do know one representative actually moved and kept trying to get the City of Temple to replace him for a couple years, and he lived in Salado, so.
Right, okay. All right, that's that one. Also, as far as the, you said that the costs are borne by percentages for the entities that participate in this, correct? So they pay for that. And then, let's see what else here. As far as the board members, do you have participation? Do all of them show up?
Yeah, we usually have everyone there.
Okay.
Occasionally there will be one member absent just because of scheduling for other meetings, but typically we have 100% show up.
Okay. And how often do you meet?
So we have to meet quarterly. When I first got on this board, we only met quarterly and maybe one special meeting in the year, which usually revolved around some type of change or controversy. That has stepped up with a new chief appraiser. There's a lot more going on. And we've met probably every other month for the most part.
Okay. And as far as the people that that protest their taxes, okay, there's no interface between your board and that board. Is that true?
That is correct. So the appraisal review board is where you would go to protest your tax value. And that board is actually appointed by the senior administrative judge in the county, who currently is Judge Adams, and likely to be,
right.
Well, he's leaving,
right.
But likely to be Judge Jones, I think, will be the next one.
Okay. Any other questions from the council? Okay. Mr. Mitchell.
Mayor, this quest really came about over years and years of council frustration every time we had the vote come up. And Mr. Bryan has always been good about coming and introducing himself so the council gets to know him as well, and he's always been very available to staff. So it had nothing to do in terms of how we felt like we were represented on there other than in terms of population. We sort of felt like we were getting left out in terms of representation on there. Now, Mr. Bryan's done a great job of educating me and staff on this at face value when that came out. When we, all the city is looking for is better representation, not to just change for change's sake. And if we do change for change's sake, most likely we're headed towards a situation where those top five, as we talked about, would dominate the board. Because I do agree that ISDs are much larger generally in their geographics than cities are. They cross city boundaries. Like KISD does, so they're going to have a much larger assessment value total across those. And as we grow, they grow too, so I don't ever see us really catching those. So I think that's the risk we do if we do open up this can of worms. Again, we started this quest to try to get better representation. I think what we found out is that we probably have the best representation we're going to get right now in terms of the way it's set out. So my suggestion to council will be that we continue to ride the horse that we're on, and however Mr. Bryan would like us to provide him with a letter in relation to that, but that was my recommendation to you as a council.
Okay, Ms. Mayor Smith, and I agree with what you're saying there, and again, just I think it's good to have you so that the council members that they come and go here too, so they know who you are and that they have the background as far as the education. Having served on the city council for 7 years and 4 years as mayor, this is the first time I've heard this. So the fact is it's good to make sure that we understand on who all the players are and how things are set up. So any other questions from the council? Okay, thanks a lot. Oh, go ahead,
Mayor,
please.
Can I add one more thing? So with that direction, what we will most likely do is issue a new letter out to the entities saying that we're going to maintain the same structure, and if anyone wants to protest that, they would send in a letter. So that wouldn't take any positive action on your part at that point.
Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir, thank you.
Okay, the next item under new business, item number two, is to receive and discuss an update on capital improvement projects. Public Works Director.
Mayor, this is Mark Hyde, the Public Works Director for the City of Harker Heights. Today, the Finance Director and myself are bringing you the quarterly capital improvement project update as requested by the City Council. There in your memo, we have a spreadsheet that's color-coded. Yellow highlighted projects will be discussed in detail by myself here in just a few minutes. The red highlighted projects are in a pending status. Fire Station 2 renovation is complete. However, there are some soft costs still needing to be purchased before the project is officially closed. The gray highlighted projects have been completed. And then projects not highlighted are budgeted on a yearly basis and are completed during that same fiscal year. So, Gary, if you'll advance to the first slide, please. So this is the central fire station parking lot. We'll be doing two steel water storage tanks, removal of those, and then repair of the parking lot. Go to the next slide, please, Gary. So the construction cost is $139,270. City Council awarded the project to HCS Commercial General Contractor on March 23rd. And we had a pre-construction meeting last week. The notice to proceed was issued and they will start work a week from tomorrow. And tentatively, we don't have any rain days. The completion date will be July 31st. Just a few months from now. Please stop me at any time if you have questions. I'll be glad to answer those. Next project is the wastewater treatment plant stairway safety improvement project. And this will be modifications to that stairwell that you see. Next slide, please, Gary. Construction cost, $64,000. Prime Spec is the contractor, and they have done work for us before. The project includes removal of the existing stairway at the pump level, installation of the new stairway. There'll be some hinged floor grating. This is where the pumps come up and down from the lower level to the upper level. We'll have a new electric cable hoist, safety chains and hooks. So the substantial completion is scheduled for June 26th. And the contractor's been having some trouble getting the correct steel in. I'm sure COVID has a lot to do with that. So really he hasn't done any work to date, but at this point we're still holding him to the completion, substantial completion date of June 26th.
Okay, Mr. Hyde, question from Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mark, this was the construction to make it safer as a result of the accident we had, is that correct?
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Okay, and was there any other sites, or was this the only location that we had this safety hazard?
This was the only location.
Okay, thank you.
This is the 2020 street improvements, and as you can see, we have Chaparral Road paved. There will be striping. You will have a double yellow stripe down the center and the white fog lines on the sides and the raised pavement markers that just hasn't been completed. Next slide, please, Gary. This is Rattlesnake Road improvements. The concrete subgrade stabilization has been done. On this end, this is we're standing close to Indian Trail here. At the other end, they're actually excavating some of the subgrade out because of fat clay, removing that and hauling in crushed limestone. So as soon as that is complete, we'll be ready to pave. They do have some curb and gutter to replace throughout the project there. So the construction cost for the total street improvements is $572,000. Lone Star Grading and Materials is the contractor. And the three big roads, Chaparral, Rattlesnake Road, and Mossy Oak Circle, those are the bulk of the project. They will move into Mossy Oaks. It's a small cul-de-sac. It won't take very long. And start work on it next. We still have the traffic guardrails at Miller's Crossing and the fleet maintenance yard to complete. The concrete valley gutter at Dorothy Lane and Vernal Lee Boulevard. The ADA path to the batting cages at the 2410 Community Park. And the ADA path and parking lot at Kern Park. And then the Pima Trail curb ramps. And their final completion for all of those projects is August 15th.
Okay, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. On the Rattlesnake Road improvement there, since that was probably the largest one of the construction there with the excavation and the repaving, is that one still on budget there, or are we looking at any overruns based on the amount of excavation you had to do to bring in the extra limestone?
We did have an additional overrun, so when we did the geotechnical core samples, they go out and drill and get subgrade samples. We had adequate base between two sections, and then to the next section was adequate base, and then in between we found fat clay. So we had to do a change order, a pretty substantial change order for that additional excavation, removal, and replacement of the base.
But are we gonna have money then that's available from other projects to make up for that shortfall, or what's the plan?
We have some extra unit costs built in. We'll just have to wait at the end of the project and see how everything balances out.
All right, thank you.
The 2021 street improvements, this is a result of the winter storm damage that we experienced a few months ago. I'll be bringing you an update on that next week at the city council meeting, and we'll discuss those projects. The cost for that is $2 million. It's currently in engineering design. We have subgrade cement stabilization with asphalt paving on, I think it's five streets. And then 24 collector streets that we'll be doing numerous point repairs on. So we're trying to position ourselves to begin construction in September and wrap up construction in December of this year. Pinewood Drive drainage channel, this is just below the high school. There behind, those are the homes on Pinewood Drive on the left. The White House actually fronts Ashwood Drive. So you can see the channel, it heads towards the fence and then makes a turn. Well, the water doesn't want to make that turn during heavy rain events. Next slide here. You can see the damage there to the fence. We have a little outbuilding there that's in danger of you know, falling in. So go to the next slide, please, Gary. So the City Council awarded the project to Myers Concrete Construction on March 23rd. We have been in contact with Myers. They are waiting on their bonding. As soon as we have that, which we anticipate this week, then we'll issue a notice to proceed and get them started working. The project, which is about 400 feet in length, includes shaping the channel and installing 18-inch diameter rock, which will be grouted along the bottom and the sides. And then we'll be replacing 250 feet of privacy fencing. The tentative completion date on that project is also July 31st.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. Mark, since we awarded a fair amount of these contracts prior to a lot of these disaster events that occurred, and I know that costs have gone up exponentially across various construction materials, you know, concrete, pipe, metal, that type thing. Have we had any pushback or any issues with any of our contractors or subs from the contractors in being able to meet the project based on the bids that they had made?
No, not to date we have not. We have been told in advance on certain manhole projects that there is a weight on new manholes because of the concrete shortage. But all of our other projects, particularly the drainage projects, are right on schedule.
Okay, thank you.
This is the Goode Conneaut Park Detention Facility, which was identified in the Drainage Master Plan as a capital improvement project number one. Next slide, please, Gary. The probable construction cost is $992,000, and it does include a soccer field in the bottom of the detention facility, so when it's not raining, it can be used as a park amenity. It's currently in engineering design. It's about 85% complete. We did submit this project as a CDBG grant project, and unfortunately, it did not meet the requirements for low to moderate income. So we'll pay the full cost of that project. This is a little color coding of capital improvement project number two, and it was so large that we broke it up into four phases. The yellow phase at the very top there at Clore Road, you see there between Beeline and Clore, we have completed that project. It's complete. The phase two, which is the purple line, the phase three, the blue, and the phase four, the red lines, are all part of this, what we call CIP number two, three, and four. And the blue line, we need additional easement width through there. The new drainage channel is gonna be wider than the existing one. We have inadequate drainage easements through there, so we've got to obtain those. Next slide, please, Gary. So for phase two, the cost for that project is $405,000. Phase three, $660,000. And then phase four, just a little over $1 million. Again, the engineering is about 90% complete, and we are working on those. We do have the easements. We just need to visit with the property owners and get consent. Next slide. So that's the existing concrete drainage channel behind Cardinal. The new one will look like that, but just a little bit wider. Mountain Line Road drainage flume replacement. This is at Pontiac Drive. Years ago, the cross ties, if you recall, along Mountain Line Road were failing. And on the right and on the left, you can see the segmented retaining wall we installed. We removed the cross ties. When we got to this location, it was outside of the right-of-way, and it was not part of the project. And we decided to come back and go ahead and finish it. So what will happen is that flume will go away. There will be a underground storm sewer pipe installed, and basically that gap will be filled in and brought up to the fence line. And so you won't have that depression through there, and then the cross ties will be removed and taken out. This is a small project, $91,000, and we've had a hard time getting a good bid on it. They're always inflated. So what we decided to do is to bid this project and the Georgette Drive Bank Stabilization Project, which I'll show you in a minute. We'll bid that with the bid, the big Drainage Master Plan CIP number 2 that we just discussed, and hopefully we'll get a better price on it. Next slide, please. This is the Georgette Drive. This is just north of Clore Road, a little subdivision up north of Clore. This drainage channel goes back behind the homes. And you can see the gabion rock baskets the street department and drainage department installed to save this first lot. And it's continuing down the channel. So we'll basically extend what you see down further down. Next slide. Cost for that project is $100,000. Engineering is completed, and again, we'll bid this with the Mountain Line Flume Project and the Drainage Master Plan number 2. This is the bridge at Roy Reynolds and Nolan Creek, and you can see the bottom of the bridge abutment being undermined from Nolan Creek when it floods. Next slide. Construction cost for this is $122,000. That was the original engineering cost. We have come up with a different design we believe is going to be substantially lower than that. Walker Partners is currently visiting with some local contractors to see if we can get some quotes, and we're hoping it may be even below $50,000.
Hey, Mark, this is Mayor Smith. Had we, a few years ago, didn't we do a significant project up in that same area?
Yes, sir, we did. We did it on the upstream side of the bridge. It was the same problem. We had undermining of the bridge abutment, and we had to actually go in there and drive steel sheet piles in. It was a big project. We actually got a CDBG grant for that project.
Okay, thank you.
This is the Connell low water crossing project. So years ago, this is at the Connell farm going out east on FM 2410. Way in the background, you can see a yellow post. That's a new manhole that we installed as part of that phase one trunk sewer project the city installed. And that new sewer line comes right across this low water crossing. The construction caused the crossing to where they can't use it for their hay equipment. So Ms. Connell asked us to look at it and see if we could correct it and bring it back like it was. So next slide. So we do have an engineering design for this project, $17,000, and this would bring the low water crossing back to the same elevation as it was before. I have a concrete bottom. There won't be a culvert there. It'll just sheet flow over the top of it. And we are getting quotes from contractors for the project at this time. The FM 2014 utility relocation project. So TxDOT is underway, and I've used this term wrong, called it a widening project, and it's actually not. So what TxDOT is going in there, mainly doing drainage improvements. They'll, as you travel down the two lane going east, you'll notice some of the drainage head walls are close to the edge of the pavement, and they don't meet the current TxDOT standards on safety space and the distance. So the big push for this project is to get those head walls extended out. Some of the culverts will be upsized to improve drainage in the area. Project will include widening the current lanes so you have full 12-foot lanes. There's some areas where perhaps the lanes aren't full 12 feet. But the lane configuration, as you see it now, will remain the same. It'll be just like it is now. They will come in and repave the whole project. So this is from Stillhouse Lake Road all the way to Simmons Road in Belton. Next slide, Jerry.
Okay, Mr. Hyde, Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist has a question.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. On this widening project, or whatever the term is, what they're using for it, for the location for the RV basin that we approved last year, are they going to look at putting in an extra wide turn lane there to facilitate those extra large vehicles going in there, or is that something that they would have to pay for?
That would be something the developer will have to pay for.
Okay. I didn't know if they would be able to work with TxDOT on that since that development, you know.
Yeah, it would be a good time. But from what I understand, the developer decided to widen the existing RV park,
right,
and not develop this, the one that we approved recently.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Hart, I've got a question too, Mayor Smith. When we're working with TxDOT as we go west on 2410, okay, as we put things in the ground, we've put a lot of things in the ground in the past, but again, are they looking further on out as that time comes when they're going to have to widen 2410, or are they looking at where we're putting things in the ground as far as infrastructure so we don't have to move them again?
It is crowded through there, Mayor, as far as the right-of-way and utilities. We had a difficult time getting our 16-inch water line through there, and really the place you would like to put it and then where TxDOT tells you have to put it are two different, and sometimes that's the risk you have to take. On this project, we had just four minor conflict locations through there, and I believe once we resolve those locations, that we'll be good to go later when the road is widened to its full extent.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, if I might.
Yes.
Mark, recently, this past week, got a chance to take the drawings that TxDOT gave us, the in-depth drawings, and kind of walk it through. And that's when Mark came to me and said, David, they call it a widening project. So when I hear the word widening, as Mark did, we're thinking multiple lanes, additional lanes. And it's not really that. They're widening it, but it's more widening drainage and things like that down through there. So I asked Mark, and he's going to draft a little memo for y'all so y'all have some updated information on what they're going to do on that project, but that's the gist of it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, please proceed.
So the widening project, whatever you'd like to call it, is in preliminary engineering design. I received a 40% set of plans. They would like all of the entities, Harker Heights, there's Central Texas Water has some utilities in there. Dog Ridge Water Supply has utilities. They would like us to have everything moved by next May, and they plan to let the project basically a year from now.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. I have one more quick question on this then. Were they looking at putting a light or lights anywhere along the Harker Heights portion of this widening project?
No, sir. No, there will not be any.
So were there any studies done, like particularly along like Comanche there?
No, sir. No. we do have a request for speed limit reduction through there.
Okay.
That's supposed to be in study phase right now, but no signal light studies have been done to this point.
Okay, thank you.
Council, I believe Mark and I were looking at, I think the only area that we really saw that there was going to be an addition was a small turn lane when it got to Simmons Road, I believe. They were going to widen it right down there, so that would be a new addition. They kind of widen it out and have a little left turn lane, I guess, there at Simmons Road.
This is at the wastewater treatment plant. We have a belt filter press that we use for sludge dewatering. Next slide, Jerry. So this would bring us a second press. We do have a space in the building for a second press, $450,000 cost. It's in engineering design. This would give us some redundancy. Right now, our press is running pretty hard. We're running about 22 30-yard roll-offs each month, which is quite a bit. The current press was installed in 1991 when the plant was expanded, and it's showing its age, so when it goes down, we have to really work quick to get it back up and running. During the winter storm, we had some major gears break on it, and because of the winter storm, the trucks, it couldn't be shipped overnight, so it had to go regular freight, and the trucks couldn't come down the road, so we were without a press for almost a week, and we made it okay and didn't have any permit violations, but I'm glad to see this project coming on. This is our Rummel lift station. This is actually the lift station that's out on the Connell Ranch that we just discussed, that was built for that trunk sewer project. And what we'll be doing to save other projects from happening is we'll be upsizing this lift station a little bit more and lengthening the force main to avoid some of the other sanitary sewer facilities and leave those alone where we don't have to do any upgrades. Next slide, Gary. Construction cost, $785,000. It's currently in design, and this will give us the additional 1,000 homes that we've talked about. And then the extra cost that you see for the $1 million is engineering survey and inspection costs. DFW lift station upgrade. Next slide, Gary. Have a construction cost of $50,000. So this is one of our oldest lift stations in the city. It has a rectangular concrete wet well that sewer gas has been working on over the years. What we'd like to do is get it cleaned and epoxy coated to protect the concrete from further degradation. And then the city would keep the wet well dry during that coating process. And then finally, this is our sidewalk from Prospector Trail to Vineyard Trail. And on the right, you see the traffic guardrail there. Originally, the engineer was going to have a pedestrian bridge that spanned across that drainage channel. And now we're thinking TxDOT may allow us to hug next to that guardrail, and we could put the sidewalk across through there and avoid that pedestrian bridge span. Next slide, Gary. So currently the construction cost is $562,000. As I mentioned, Walker Partners will request TxDOT to allow the sidewalk next to the guardrail, and it would be a considerable cost reduction if they allowed that to happen. I'll be glad to answer any questions for you.
Mayor Pro Tem Blomquist.
Thank you, Mayor. This is Michael Blomquist, Mayor Pro Tem. On that sidewalk, if they do allow us to hug next to the guardrail, so that guardrail will be the barrier then that would protect the pedestrians that utilize that bridge there, okay? Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's good. And then my final question, when you mentioned that you had a number of gears break during the our Snowmageddon event, were you able to identify critical parts that you might want to maybe put some stockage on that you would have for a future event that wouldn't, you know, obviously you don't want to put too much capital into parts because you never know when they're going to break, but
yes, sir.
Obviously critical parts, when you have to wait a week to get them and you're potentially running into other problems if you have to go that long without the part, those are something that we want to make sure, you know, we have identified, and that's just not just for the wastewater, but there's other things, you know, across the city too that we want to make sure we've identified.
Yes, sir.
That we have those identified. So
we do, we keep parts on hand. These happen to be the main drive gears. This is like keeping an extra transmission for your
right.
car in your garage. You know, it's not something that happens very often, and it just was like the perfect storm. You know, it happened,
I know.
And now we can't get the part because the trucks can't.
It's just like scrambling to go get sand too. You know, there's all things that you want to have, but you just don't have enough money to do it. But
sure.
But of those things you could afford, it, you know, just, you know, those are things we want to take a look at and make sure you've got your bench stock or your whatever your parts on hand that would be critical to keep you operating, you know, because like you said, when you order something, is a ripple effect. When everybody in Central Texas or all of Texas is trying to order those same kind of parts, you wait. So that's where we want to be able to, you know, forecast some of that, where we can alleviate some of that.
I totally agree. We try to keep spare parts for as many items as we can.
Right. But
Council, we do have a good inventory of those. In fact, we have an employee that's tasked with keeping up with all that, and as well as part of our audit process, the auditors do audit that. I know finance does some independent audits on that as well during the year. Again, making sure the inventory on hand matches what we show on the books. And so it's not just an inventory sitting out there. It's under
right.
lock and key, and as well as it's audited as part of the audit process.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? No, Mr. Hart, I got a comment, and also from Mr. Mitchell on that last one about the sidewalks. I think it's important to highlight that. A lot of interest among the citizens. Again, also maybe some of the history about 3481, what we're doing along there, but also even go back about how we widened that intersection because of safety issues about the young woman that was killed. We had a fatality there a number of years ago. How the city got on top of that. So I think it's to highlight that for not only for you know, pedestrian movement, but also for safety of our citizens in Harker Heights. Okay, anything else, Mr. Hyde? Anything else for us?
No, sir.
Okay, Mr. Mitchell. Okay, nobody wants to talk, so the time is 3:56 and we're adjourned.
This conference is no longer being recorded.